Good morning. Good to see you all at this service of worship and praise to our God, and to remember our Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. As you notice, we're being favoured to be recorded, so we've got to behave ourselves. And we welcome any who might be listening or watching a little bit later on after this has been recorded. Just one notice before we proceed any further, which I better put on. Just to remind you that we're having a bring and share lunch after the service next week, Thursday 27th, with a trade craft stall selling seasonal gifts and cards. So there's an excuse to spend some money and to save a lot of walking. So we now proceed with the last of our series of the I Ams of John's Gospel. I am the true vine. And we're pleased to have Jeff with us, who's going to be speaking to us presently and unfolding this to each of us. And we pray that we may each know a blessing from God through his word. I'd just like to read a few verses from Psalm chapter 80, which are not on the screen, but I think they're relevant to our subject, because it's quite amazing that many of the titles and sayings of Jesus, including the I Ams, have some sort of reference or connection to the Old Testament. And it's quite interesting. It's like Jesus almost brings these to the fore in his present day. And in Psalm 80, we get a similar picture of the vine. And Israel has looked upon the vine, and God is the husbandman. But of course, the vine doesn't always do what it's supposed to do, and nor did Israel. And so the verses read as follows. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass may pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. So we'll consider more about vine. There's a nice picture for you. And we'll say these words together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, which is kept in heaven for you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we stand to sing our first song, and for the sake of those who may be just listening or watching the video on YouTube, all the songs are from Mission Praise. Some of these are older songs by today's standards, but they're just as true and just as worthy. And I hope you may remember this one, which you may have sung a few years ago now. Jesus is the name we honour. Would you like to stand? Going to bring us the reading from John's Gospel.
The reading can be found on page 1083 of the Church Bibles, and it's John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, page 1083. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jane. Shall we just pray before Jeff comes and speaks to us? Our God and Father, we thank you for this opportunity of turning to your word again. And we pray that we may just realize how great our security is in you, as we've trusted in you and believed in you and know you to be our Saviour. And in these dark and difficult days, we pray that you will lift up our hearts through your word and through what you say through your servant, that we may be blessed and encouraged. And we just pray and thank you for your goodness to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
It's not unusual to use fruit to describe something. So we might, for example, talk about a plum job, a desirable job. We might speak of someone being the apple of our eye, someone who we favour. Or we talk about people who go bananas, like my grandchildren will do next week in half term. And when they do, things will go pear-shaped. Grapes have been used in this way, of course. You might have heard it through the grapevine. Or it might be a case of sour grapes. And behind all these sayings, there's usually a story. So, for example, the sour grapes, as you probably know, comes from one of Aesop's fables about a fox who greatly desired to get his teeth into that delicious bunch of grapes that was just out of his reach. And we find him slinking away, saying, well, they were probably sour anyway. The story behind the saying often illuminates it. And that is very much the case with this I am saying of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a story behind it from the Old Testament, as Derham hinted at. And there is a story behind it in the history of Israel that still reverberates to this very day. Take a look at the logo for the Israeli Ministry of Tourism. It features a bunch of grapes. This is the latest logo. The one they had for many years was this one, showing two men carrying a bunch of grapes. And of course, that sends us back to a certain story in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 13, when Moses had sent the spies to explore the promised land, and they came back saying, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they brought back, remember, that bunch of grapes, so large it took two of them to carry it. And so this became a symbol of the prosperity and the richness of the land of Israel, which made it rather appropriate as a logo for the Ministry of Tourism. But as you trace the use of this image throughout the Old Testament, you begin to realize it's referring not just to the land, but to the people of Israel. And in that psalm that Derham read to us, Psalm 80, it talks about God bringing a vine out of Egypt and planting it in Canaan. And then again, in Isaiah chapter 5, we get this famous Song of the Vineyard. which celebrates what God has done with his people, how he planted them, how he tended them, how he protected them. And then the Lord comes to gather some of the fruit. But now there's a note of disappointment. He looked for a good crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. And this sense of disappointment associated with Israel as the vineyard continues throughout the prophets. Take Jeremiah, for example. I planted you like a choice vine, says the Lord, of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt, wild vine? The vine proved false, untrue. It failed to produce the fruit. And when we come to the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus picking up on this theme. How many of his parables feature vines and vineyards? Well, of course, there's a very famous one in Mark 12, when the owner of the vineyard sends his only son to collect the fruit, and the tenants plot to kill him. So this is the background then to this great saying of Jesus, I am the true vine. He has come to be the true vine where all else proved false. Well, you may say that's quite interesting, bit of background. What's it got to do with me living my Christian life in the 21st century? Well, of course, Jesus tells us, doesn't he? When he says, I'm the vine, but you are the branches. Remain in me and I in you, and you'll bear fruit. You can't do anything without me. He is bearing fruit through us. Now, notice in this verse, it does not say, I'm the vine, you're the branches, bear fruit, because he knows. We cannot do that by our own efforts. He's seen through history. That doesn't work. What he says is, remain in me and you will bear fruit. All our efforts must go into remaining attached and connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course that makes sense. If a branch gets detached from the tree, the sap won't flow, the fruit won't grow. If we get detached from the Lord Jesus Christ, we die spiritually and morally too. Stay connected. And we know how to do that. But Jesus goes on, and this is the main point of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Jesus goes on to tell us how believers can become more fruitful. Look at what he says. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Well, I'm no gardener, but I know pruning can have a remarkable effect. When we moved into our house in Malvern Link, there was in the back garden this huge bush, a lovely bush, but it had grown wild. It was cutting out the light. So I said to my wife, let's cut it down. So we pruned it right down to a manageable size. That was a mistake. I'm telling you now, that bush is twice as big as it was before we pruned it. Pruning can have a remarkable effect. Now, it's very interesting the word Jesus uses here for the word prune. I'm going to show you its root. It's a Greek word he uses, but it's a word that we get some English words from. To prune is kathairo, and we get catharsis, cathartic, and catheter about that, from that word, which means to cleanse or to purge. It's interesting that a catheter can be used to drain off unwanted fluid or infection. If something is cathartic in a psychological sense, it means you're releasing some damaging emotions. And this is what the Lord wants to do with you and me. He wants to prune us. But of course, pruning can be painful. And the question for you and me today is, do I have the courage to say to the Lord, is there anything in my life that is inhibiting me from being more fruit-bearing for you? Then will you get out your pruning knife and cut it out? Do you remember that old hymn, Search Me, O God? See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me, purge me from every sin and set me free. Is there anything in my life? I attended a clergy conference for church leaders some years ago, and we were talking about this very thing. We were in small groups, and one man there very bravely spoke about something that had been in his life that had stopped him from being a fruit-bearing Christian. And he told us what it was very bravely. He said at the end of a day he used to like to sit down, pour himself a glass of wine, and it relaxed him. Well, you may say nothing wrong with that. But one glass was never enough for this guy, and it got to be one bottle of wine a night. And then one bottle wasn't enough, and he realized he had a problem, and it was damaging his ministry. He would wake up every morning feeling groggy and unable to get going. He could never be called out in an emergency late at night because he was in no fit state. And he prayed about it, and he felt the Lord saying to him, you have got to not just cut down, you've got to cut this out so that you can bear more fruit. It was very hard, he admitted, to do it. But by the grace of God, he did. And he said he felt so much more energized for ministry. Is there something in my life that is inhibiting me from being fruitful in the Lord's service? A clergy friend of mine was telling me once about a young woman he had in his church who was a very keen Christian. She longed to serve the Lord, and he'd appointed her as the youth leader. And she did a brilliant job. And then one day she announced she'd met this guy and was going out with him. He's not a Christian, she said, but my faith is strong and I can win him over. Well, after about 6 months, there was no sign that he was being won over. Sunday was his day for football, and he was once appointed to an international team. And she said, well, I've got to go and support him, even though he does play on a Sunday. And gradually, she dropped away. And then she came to talk to my clergy friend, and she said, look, I've prayed about this, and I come to the conclusion I cannot continue in this youth work and maintain this relationship. So I have decided to let him go. And she broke up with him. And that was heartbreaking for her. But you know, the Lord honoured her sacrifice. A few years later, she became a full-time youth pastor. And when she was in training, she met a Christian guy, and they got married. And she had a very fruitful ministry. Is there anything in my life that I need God to cut out that's holding me back? Hebrews chapter 12 has an amusing take on this. Imagine an athlete getting ready, lining up to run the 100 meters, and he turns up wearing a pair of these. And the coach despairs and says to him, you're never going to get anywhere in them. Throw them away. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Pruning is necessary. What, even at my age? Well, you and I may not have much longer left in this age for God to finish the work he wanted to do with you and me. Now is the time, perhaps. Pruning can be painful, but you know what? It brings us closer to the Lord. Somebody once said this, and I'll finish with this. The vine dresser is never closer to the vine than when he has his pruning knife in his hand. Remember this. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Don't resent him when he prunes you. It's because he loves you. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, give us all the grace to remain connected to you moment by moment of every day, that we may bear more fruit for you. Do not hesitate to prune us in love, so that we may live lives worthy of our calling and bear much fruit. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Consider how we are. That's time to pray, and Ruth simply does not press.
You would kindly say, hear our prayer after I said, O Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, we thank you for your words, I am the true vine, which is true encouragement. We praise you that you may not be with us physically, but your living energy, your spiritual reality, continues to nourish and sustain us. Jesus, you wanted us to know that even though we cannot see you, we are the branches and we are connected to you, the stem. May we know connection to you, O Lord, our God, who gave life and produces in us life of righteousness and service. O Lord, in your mercy, hear us. O Lord, we come to our own church and pray for our rector, Dave Bruce. Be with him and encourage him. We pray also for the retired vicars that we are blessed with and their ministry. We also pray for the lay readers and Liz Saunders, our new operations manager, that she will find wisdom in all that she'll be doing to help our church. We pray also for Helen Attree and give thanks for all that she does in helping our young people. We pray for the young families in our church. Help and guide them in bringing up their children to love you. We pray also for our young people. Be beside them in their schooling and college, that they will know you closely. There are so many temptations. We pray that you will keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. We hear so much in the news regarding the horrendous price increases in gas and electricity this winter, which is frightening so many people. Father, give to us and to all your people in times of anxiety, serenity, in times of hardship, courage, in times of uncertainty, patience, and at all time, a quiet trust in your wisdom and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, that you are there and with us and never will leave us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our God, our peace and justice. We pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those that fear tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw them near to you. We pray for those with the power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk in fear, that you hold and protect them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the refugees that have fled Ukraine with their children, leaving their husbands behind. Give them peace and consolation at this difficult time. We also pray for the people that are coming to our country in boats over the channel. May our government deal with them wisely. Lord, in your mercy, hear. Lord, we pray to you to comfort those who are unwell, also those that are facing operations and treatments, that they may know your peace and know that you are with them. We continue to pray for June Lepage, who continues to bravely battle cancer and who has some news and tests next Monday. Also for Sheila Hughes in Mowbray, still with us but very frail. She prays for us and sends her love. She is missing her family visits and is finding it difficult to get comfort. Also, we pray for Olivia and Karen Enright. And also, if we could have a moment's silence while we think of people that we know and are close to us that are very unwell at the moment. Lord, in your mercy, I hear a prayer. We pray also for our government at this difficult time, that they will know wisdom and how to move this country forward. It all seems such a mess. Please, can you guide them? And we have a government that has wisdom. We also pray for King Charles III, that he will know you and will have strength and guidance for you. He has had an amazing mother, and how she has shown him her love for you, our God. We ask all of this in your name. Amen.
I don't wish to embarrass you, Marion, but it's lovely to see you this morning. And thank God for such an answer to prayer. We've got a song now which is fairly obvious to have. Maybe we only sing it once in a while. But I hope you remember it. You are the vine. We are the branches. If you'd like to stand. Thank you. Thank you.
Please be seated. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." When they saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I'm going to hand over to Jeff to take us through the Holy Communion.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is always right to give you thanks, God, our Father, holy and strong, King forever. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. You send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and fill us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He took the bread and he thanked you. He broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take, eat this. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new promise of God's love. Do this to remember me." Jesus Christ has died.
Jesus Christ has died.
Jesus Christ is risen.
Jesus Christ is risen.
Jesus Christ will come again.
Jesus Christ will come again.
Father, as we remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that the bread and wine we bring before you may be for us Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us that we may love one another as we work for the peace of the earth and wait for Jesus to come in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen.
We say these words together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. I haven't sung this one for a long time either, but I hope you remember that when you hear the tune. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres, and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. We stand. Please be seated. To be found in you and known is yours. That links us to the idea of the vine and the branches, and we're linked with Christ. And I hope that each one of us here can say this morning that we know Jesus. We know him and love him. And he's our joy and our righteousness. And all the attributes that belong to him are expressed through him in his word and in our hearts as we speak with him and allow the Spirit of God to work in us and to imprint upon our hearts and minds his word. Just before you say the blessing, I'd like just to read one verse in the Bible. It's really like a PS to our series. We've had all the I ams of John's Gospel, but there's another I am right at the end of the Bible, which covers like an umbrella the whole series, the whole life, and everything to do with God. And that's in Revelation. I'm sure you, it's coming to your minds now. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. And Jesus says these words, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he or she has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And that for me sums up all that we've listened to and spoken about in relation to Jesus, the I Am. So from the very beginning of life to the very end of God's purposes in bringing about resurrection and new heavens and new earth, that eternity is expressed in these verses. Jesus is the beginning and the end. And that, I think, is a wonderfully comforting phrase in these days and in any day. To we know that so often we sing about the whole world's in his hands, and that particularly we believe, of course, are the people. But the whole world is in his hands, and he has purposes for it in the future. And Jesus has brought about the possibility of us knowing and enjoying that resurrection and eternal life that he has promised. So I hope that helps to round it off for you as well. And so the very last slide. To go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. If anyone wishes to talk or ask for prayer or share anything, please feel free to do that with someone near you or one of us. Otherwise, please partake in a nice cup of coffee. Thank you.